I'd like to call to order the regular scheduled meeting of Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason.
Present.
Mrs. Zinnikens.
Here.
Mr. Botts.
Here.
Mrs. Cooley.
Here.
Mr. Covert.
Here.
Mr. Eisner and I are also here.
Please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We don't have anyone signed up for public communication, but if you'd like to speak, now would be the time. So now we'll move to Section C.
Turned it on.
Section C, Board Work Session. I'd like to start, people ask me why I like Madison Plains. I say because we got a lot of good people. Those good people include the community, the students, but especially our staff. And we lost one of our staff members last month, December 1st. And Todd, our treasurer, put together a nice email that went out to the employees, and I'm just going to read that for the group here. It is with great sadness that I share the passing of our longtime friend and coworker, Marcia Kurt. Marcia passed away on December 1st. Marcia diligently served the Madison Plains Local School District as an administrative bookkeeper for accounts payable for 34 years, only recently being forced to stay home due to doctor's orders. There was no quit in her. Marcia's ability to preserve in her work and family life, despite tremendous health difficulties, should serve as an example for all of us. She will be dearly missed by many in the central office and throughout the Madison Plains School District. So if you would please take a moment of silence with me in honor of Marcia. Thank you. Also, I'm kind of the MP community coming together. We don't have a lot of details yet, but we believe the home of one of our kindergarten students burnt down on 38 today. Depending on if the family's comfortable with it, hopefully we can get that information out if they're looking for assistance around the holiday season here. I'd like to reach out to them however we can. That's all I have for the board work session. Does anybody have anything else?
No.
Do you want to set the date for the organizational meeting?
Sure. All right. So, as I mentioned at the last meeting, I was hoping we could move the January meeting, which doubles as the organizational meeting and the regularly scheduled meeting. The 3rd of January, which is a Thursday at 7 p.m., does that work for everyone?
Yeah. I will be on vacation.
Are you comfortable if we have it that day?
No, that is fine.
I'm good.
Okay. I'm good.
Change that to the 7th of, or excuse me.
January 3rd.
Sorry, thank you. January 3rd at 7 p.m. I think that's all for board work session. So now we'll go to Section D, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the minutes of the November 20th, 2018 and the November 28th, 2018 meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikens?
Yes.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now we'll move to Section F, Section E, student recognition. Sorry.
And we seem to be struggling over here for a microphone that works. But at this time, I would like to call Mr. Miller and Mr. Lolathan to the podium so that they can introduce some young students who have had an outstanding job during Right to Read Week.
Before we recognize our students, I want to first give the board some information on our successful event that we had with Donuts with Dads and Muffins with Moms. For our K-3 students with Donuts with Dads, we had a total of 419 students and dads attend.
Nice.
So it was extremely successful. And with our Muffins with Moms, we had 462.
Wow.
So It was an awesome event. I do want to give a shout out to the Little Donut Factory and Happy Chicken Farms for a donation. Mr. Coburn for helping with the delivery of everything. Mr. Mason for being there as well, helping distribute items, and Mr. Eisler as well. So it was very successful. We hope to continue it in the future and possibly get something rolling for our 4, 5, 6 students. Now, with that being said, Mr. Alton's going to introduce our students and talk about our reading program.
Good evening, everybody. So we just concluded Right to Read Week at the end of November. But prior to Right to Read Week concluding, we had a 4-week reading challenge that we kind of partnered with the Book Jackets, which is part of the Plymouth Blue Jacket Foundation. So we had all grade levels, K-5, participated. And so tonight I have 3 students from the elementary portion of the building that are going to be recognized tonight that were able to join us. And they are here because they read the most minutes in their grade level. So Jacob Loving in first grade, he had the most minutes for first grade, and there was about 25 students that participated. Bailey Brady in second grade, she had over 1,200 minutes read in the 1 month. And in third grade, Aubrey Kress had the most minutes read. So I wanted to honor these 3 for their hard work over that 4-week challenge. And our fourth grade student was Dima Savinchenko. He actually had the most minutes read overall. And Maddie Walkler had the most minutes read in fifth grade. And I'd be remiss if I did not mention kindergarten. Addie Jeffers had the most minutes read in kindergarten. But these 3 young students were went above and beyond, so I want to take a moment to recognize them. So thank you.
Addie couldn't make it tonight, but her family reached out to us. We're going to recognize her in January, and you can offer it to the others as well.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, now we'll move to Section F, Department Reports.
Our department that is reporting out tonight is our Technology Department, and here to give the report is Mr. Cody Campbell.
Good evening.
Hello.
My name is Cody Campbell. I've put together some information about technology. I started with kind of an overview of our inventory. We have 3 physical servers. I put on there that the end of the support date is 12/31/21. So we want to start looking at replacing those before the support date. 14 virtual servers, essentially the 3 physical servers kind of host those. A server could do a multitude of roles, say one runs the district campus. We have 2 network attached storage. One is 10 terabytes, and the end of support for that is March 2020. The other we just bought not that long ago in 2017. It's 90 terabytes, and warranty ends 5 years after purchase. So I'll get to it in a moment, but I've been working on sunsetting the one that ends support in 2020. We have a web filter, support for that ends in 2020, as well as our 78 access points. Around the district, we have 11 network cabinets. They all contain, you know, equipment that's basically essential to the district to have internet, phones, that type of stuff. They're in various locations. Within those, there's 19 switches. There's 12 core switches. What I mean by that is, if those devices were to go down, we'd lose internet access somewhere in the building. It really depends on which one goes down. The 7 auxiliary are kind of more like backup. They're there if we need it. Finally, the security system, it runs on a Windows Vista host. You probably might want to look at doing something with that here in the near future. For 712, we have 5 Windows laptop carts. They're 2 different models. There's approximately 19 per cart, and they're shared among the 712. There's 6 Chromebook carts, again, a mix of models, about 25 per cart, total 150. So. And then they're also shared among the 712. There's 2 iPad carts. They're shared as well. And then there's 200 iPads for checkout. Most of that is ran through the 712 Media Center, the high school library. Heidi Fletcher does most of the calendar, scheduling, that type of stuff. I appreciate that. And then each classroom has a smart board and projector. Down here at the K-6, there's 7 Chromebook carts. The various models are about 24 per cart. They're shared among the grade levels, so generally, like, second grade will say, hey, I need it this day. They'll schedule that among themselves. the three iPad carts. They're second, third gen models, there's roughly 20 per cart. They're shared among the building, which is generally if they can't get access to a Chromebook when they need it. Each classroom has 5 dedicated iPads. That's for Lexia, Light Learning, that type of stuff. And then each classroom has 1 smart board and 1 projector. Some of the recent challenges we've had to fix are, we have a lot of device damages, particularly the 712. I worked with Principal Michelle Tice, and she helped come up with kind of a better way to do the check-in, check-out system, putting more ownership in the roles of the teacher's hands. I made some changes to the Wi-Fi coming into the school year. K-3 students are basically tasked with having to log into the web filter, and there's 2 or 3 steps to be able to get on the internet. And for a K-3 student, unfortunately, that's honestly kind of asking a lot. So we took a lot of the programs that K-3 students use on a daily basis, and we made a new Wi-Fi network, and we made it so basically all those programs they would use on a generally daily basis are available without them going through 2 or 3 steps. Made some common sense changes to Wi-Fi. Essentially, if we have a access point in a classroom that's too powerful, then it might bleed over to the other like the classroom next to it, and then everybody in that classroom is going to be trying to figure out which to connect to. It ends up just causing confusion on computers. We had some weird changes with data rates, but I'll skip over that. K-6 intercom's kind of been an issue since we combined the two offices 3 or 4 years ago. We finally had Ohio AV come out, and they combined these, or it was combined into 1 giant box, and they split them out into 2 dedicated boxes. So both the K-3 and the 4-6 buildings have their own intercom. That's helped tremendously with a lot of the issues we're having. The aging technology, I've noted the keep-off system. We need to start talking about refreshing staff and, to a lesser extent, student laptops, and then classroom technology such as projectors. Majority are 5 years, some are 10 years or older. VLANs, basically it's something we had to do with the network. With the addition of the new cameras we put in the high school on the bathrooms, it created a lot of new network traffic, and it was just kind of flooding the network, making everything slower. So we put that into basically cameras are on their own segment, Chromebooks are on their own network segment, so on and so forth. Goals for the rest of the school year is basically migrate all our storage to that new NAS, which I talked about earlier, then use the one that's going to go out of support in 2020, basically as a redundant backup. I said we have 14 servers. Some are kind of running outdated server software. Some are just really using resources that they don't need to use. Try to consolidate those down to maybe 9-10 servers altogether. I want to begin to use Google Tools. They have a program called Google Backup and Sync, and use that to reduce the reliance on the MP network storage. Essentially, by doing that, we would allow staff to be able to access their files, their programs outside of the MP network, which they currently cannot do. It would probably increase login time slightly, and then Google has redundancy that unfortunately, you know, we can't compete with. I'd like to develop a refresh plan for the core technology, kind of decide, you know, when we want to start replacing that type of stuff. Consider alternatives to our existing phone service. Basically move away from leased equipment. The issue we have with that is we'd also have to take into consideration our fax pushing machine and fire alarm changes. And then start creating better documentation for specifically technology. Network map diagrams is something we're lacking. So that's some stuff I hope to accomplish by the end of the school year. So, any questions?
Thank you, Cody. Now we'll move to Section G, Board Committee Reports.
We had our Finance Committee meeting. I'm going to keep this extremely brief because Todd's going to be discussing this in further detail when he gets underneath the Treasurer's Report. Basically, the 99% of our conversation at that finance meeting resolved on the issuance of tax anticipation notes that's here for a vote. We did have some clarification on some stipulations and so forth that I'm going to leave Todd to explain to make sure that we got it correct. And then also, you guys were going to be setting up a meeting with Mount Sterling to discuss that income issue as well. Has that been set up?
Right, we had that on the agenda to talk about the Mount Sterling Enterprise Zone Agreement. Unfortunately, Courtney Gregor, the fiscal clerk, couldn't make it to our meeting that night. But I did get a hold for the next day. The estimated payment for this year, which is approximately $77,000, it has been issued by Mount Sterling. That's in the process of being approved by the state. Since they are under fiscal emergency, all their expenditures have to be approved by the state. So we should expect to receive that in January, is what I was told. And then the true-up for the prior year payments, they're still taking a good look at. And they want to get a little more clarification on that, which could amount to an additional $40,000. So we're waiting to hear on that.
Perfect. Thank you. That's it. I'm going to defer the rest to Todd for his report.
The only thing I would add to that is that our next finance committee meeting, we're kind of meeting to be determined based on the January schedule of the board, and everybody's schedule is being a little up in here right now, so we'll be posting that as soon as we know.
Chad has to give the next one.
Yes.
The Academic Advisory Council met on December 10th. This meeting served to monitor progress towards the areas for improvement the council identified in its October meeting after release of the district report card. The council adopted a new curriculum cycle that includes a gap analysis of the curriculum in low-performing grades and subject areas. Ms. Grigsby shared an example of the gap analysis work being done throughout the district. As teachers identify standards that need additional curriculum support based on state test results, we will provide resources to fill those gaps. Ms. Tice updated the council on steps that have been taken to support students who are in danger of not graduating. Each of these students and their parents has met with Ms. Tice and Mrs. Collis to review the requirements they must meet. We provided intervention courses this year successfully. We provided intervention courses this year specifically to help students earn their 18 points required for graduation. These students' progress is being monitored by teachers and the administration. Students have just completed their state end-of-course exam retakes. These results will be available in February. Ms. Berger and Mr. Lolithan reported on building efforts to monitor the attendance of those students considered chronically absent. The council discussed opportunities to address attendance concerns, including the use of attendance mentors at the 712 building. These are staff members who make a personal connection with individual students to monitor and encourage attendance. Mrs. LeGault and Mr. Miller and Ms. Grigsby are working together to identify and evaluate programs that will help meet the needs of our K-6 students who have learning disabilities in reading. Programs that emphasize phonemic awareness are being considered. Mr. Miller shared the results of the fall third grade state ELA test. At present, 64 students have met the third grade reading guarantee. Mr. Miller, Mr. Lolithan, Ms. Grigsby, and our teaching staff are working together to identify supports for the remaining 28 students. These students will have the opportunity to meet the third grade reading guarantee again in April. It was noted that these results are similar to last year, putting us on track toward having all students be eligible for promotion to fourth grade by the state of Ohio's criteria. And I know the last report is the District Athletic Council report. I don't believe that there is, as I understand it, I don't believe there was a member in attendance at that. So that report will not be given this evening.
If I may, where do we stand with the policy committee? We met on October 2nd, and we've not met since then. So where does that stand?
I am working to coordinate with OSBA on some of that material. I have not made as much progress as I would like, but I am working with them. And hope to meet sometime early in 2019.
Okay. Yeah, the same thing. We can work with potentially set up another facilities and grounds committee. Of course, in January we'll get new committee assignments as well, I guess. So kind of think through that.
Could we maybe get a list of all the committees sent out, right?
Yes.
the end of the year.
Corey, I'll talk with you so you don't get loaded with ones you don't want.
Oh, you're not going to be here.
Yeah, thanks.
Take care of you.
Yeah, you might. Well, yeah, we just, well then maybe, when do you leave?
Friday.
See, okay. Well, as soon as we can then. Yeah. So you can kind of have a look at it, give some feedback to Mark maybe.
Mm-hmm. All right, next we'll move to Section H, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. First thing I'd like to point out, leading in, you have the financial reports before you. I hope you've had a chance to review those if you have any questions. I have not received any questions, so if you have any tonight, I'd be happy to take them as well. But looking at the spending plan, I would like to point out that we are 2% below our expenditures at the same point in time last year. The previous meeting, we were at 1%, now we're 2% below expenditures at the same point in time last year. That's a combined effort of reducing cost as well as trying to put off some expenditures until after the first of the year. So we're doing the best we can, and the reason being is, we pushed the passage of new revenue about as far as we could as a district. Absolutely as far as we could as a district. And right now, our cash position at the end of November, we were in the general fund at $434,000. That leads us, that's the bottom of our bat wing, and it looks like we could be at zero or below the line in the general fund coming in December. We're doing everything we can to stave that off. One thing that is required due to our reduced cash position is the tax anticipation note. That is a common form of short-term lending utilized by school districts. What that is needed for is essentially January payrolls. That will help us get through that low portion. We estimate to collect approximately $3.5 million in property tax revenue in January and February, but we need help in January right now just to get to that point. Through our full relationship with Huntington, they have prepared those documents and provided us the tax anticipation note without any fee. We do have a 3.34% interest rate, and it is due to be paid off no later than June 30th, 2019. However, the goal is to pay it off as soon as our property tax settlement receipts come in. The sooner we pay it off, the cheaper it becomes to borrow as far as how much interest we have to pay. In the notes that you have there for the tax anticipation note, first, are there any questions of the spending plan? The spending plan demonstrates our need for the tax anticipation note, so that's why I started talking about that a little prematurely, maybe. We do look to finish the year with over $2 million, so that is some consolation, and then we do start to collect our income tax in January. So that should start coming in. We receive our first quarterly payment in March. So we should be able to update on that in the spring. And I will go ahead and speak on the tax anticipation note. It's up for a separate approval by the board. So you have an approval for the consent for the financial statements, and then you also have a vote on the tax anticipation note. Again, the tax anticipation note is for $1 million. It is for an interest rate of 3.34%, I believe.
3.36.
Six. Thank you. I was looking for it. 3.36%. It will be repaid no later than June 30th, 2019. Ideally, it will be repaid as soon as February 1st and as late as March 1st, based on the timing of our income tax receipts from the county auditor. If we repay it by February 1st, it's approximately $1,900 is what it will cost us in interest costs. If we repay it by March 1st, it'll cost us approximately $4,700 in total to borrow that $1 million for that short period of time. It's about as cheap as we can get $1 million and utilize that to help us get through this low point. And hopefully in the next 5 years of the forecast anyway, this should be the last time we have this type of issue for our district.
Yeah.
there was, you know, unfortunately, some cost involved with the interest based on pushing the passage of additional revenue off so long for the district. Like I said, we pushed it off about as far as we could. So ideally, next go around, we don't wait so long to pass the additional revenue so that it doesn't cost the district money to get through the year. Do you have any questions about either the financial reports or the tax anticipation note before you?
Not necessarily about this, but I was just going to say to you, I don't know exactly how you do it, but if you could maybe have some form to get the word out. I'm sure your website talks about the income tax coming into play, but I just kind of want to, you know, make sure the public is aware that it's starting to be implemented and just kind of be prepared for the questions that may come. That kind
yeah,
of
we're things. Starting to get some questions from the community, and employers are being notified as well, so I'm sure people are being told, you know, from their employer that, that they're adding this deduction as well. So, yeah, we'll see what we can get out. Maybe I could work with Mr. Eisler to even get a one call or a, an email, a mass email of some sort.
There was a, I get a text mail at my house. I got a postcard that came, that was sent out, basically advising that, you know, we live in a school district that as of January 1st is subject to income tax, and that you have, I think there's a date on there. I didn't read it the whole, you know.
Is that from the State Department of Taxation?
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, and it says that you have until such and such date to notify your employer for withholding. So
that's great. The state's doing that work for us then.
They did it at their expense.
Yeah.
Yay.
Awesome. But I just will say we will make every effort to repay this tax anticipation as soon as possible, so it costs us as little as possible. Yeah, so that's okay. I'm sorry, that concludes my report.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial item H3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Cogburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion. Action motion upon the recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve a resolution authorizing the issuance not to exceed $1 million tax anticipation notes as presented, but the resolution authorizing the issuance of not to exceed $1 million tax anticipation notes.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Cogburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now move to section I, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of discussion items here. I have been conducting my listening sessions out in the community. I have made note that I've met with various segments of the staff, still have a few more groups within the buildings that I would like to meet with. But I've started to go out and meet in the communities. I have meetings coming up in January at Paint Township at the Fire Hall in Newport on Thursday, January 10th. I have a meeting coming up on Tuesday, January 15th at the Stokes Township Fire Hall. And then on Thursday, January 17th, I have a meeting coming up at the Union Township Township Hall. So looking forward to those. These have been going well and getting some good feedback, so it's been beneficial for me. Just wanted to make a note with regard to the personnel items that you have before you this evening. Lisa Counts was added today as a substitute custodian. She is currently employed in the district as a substitute bus driver, and she is also on the substitute cook list. We would simply like to add her over. She's got all of her background checks and everything. We would like to add her as a substitute custodian as there is a dire need. And I, too, just wanted to give a shout out here during discussion items for the Donuts with Dad, Donuts with Dads and Muffins with Moms program. It was very good. So, thank you to everyone involved. I have nothing for you this evening in personnel, policy and governance. In personnel, we do have some items here for you. The first of which is an item K2 to accept the resignation of Amanda Cordell as the assistant district head cook. Item 3 is to accept the resignation agreement with Georgia Mercer. Item 4 is to approve an addition to the substitute cook list, and that would be Amanda Cordell. And then item 5 is to approve the addition to the substitute custodian list. That is Lisa Counts, as I mentioned. We have 2 substitute bus drivers that we are looking to employ currently. I know there is a potential for at least one more on the way, but we have 2 there. And then we have some supplemental contracts down below that are up for approval as well. The one that I want to make note of is the varsity assistant wrestling coach position. That position was originally on the budget reduction plan. We are swapping that, with your approval, we are going to swap that position out. We had a varsity boys golf position that did not go filled in the fall. It had been filled the year before. It was not filled this year. The 2 positions are very, very similar in pay, so it is basically a wash, and therefore still a true savings. So our athletic department has requested that we make this change, because we do have quite a few wrestlers who are out. So that is there. And so that really concludes the personnel recommendations that I have for you this evening. Are there any questions?
I have 2 questions. Underneath the sub-custodian list, the list that's attached to our agenda, that just has her as the only sub-custodian list. Is that accurate? Because I thought we approved someone at our last meeting.
We have at least 2.
Okay. So can we update that list so that way that's accurate? And the second thing is on the supplemental contracts, is Jason Hunt on there being approved for this past season or for the upcoming season?
Next year.
Okay, because in the recommended action, it states that this is for the 2018-2019 school year. Wouldn't that be the 2019-2020 school year?
It would be.
So can we please make that change?
Personnel items K2 through K7 with the amendments to number 5 showing 2 total custodians, substitute custodians, and number 7, Jason Hunt, varsity football coach for the 2019-2020 school year.
Second.
Discussion. Todd, do you have the other name handy, or is it?
And I believe there's just, I know Dave Smith is on the list. There may be another one. I know we have a bus driver who does some substitute custodial work as well.
So maybe there's at least two. To the current number of substitute.
Right. Yeah. There's at least 2.
Anna Gomez.
Anna Gomez is the 3rd.
Yes. Okay, so I would modify to say show the current number plus
right.
this addition.
Right. The only one being added tonight is Lisa.
The addition.
Right.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
All right. Now we'll move to section L, new business.
2 items before you this evening, the first of which is an updated service agreement with Rumpke. They remove our trash from campus. We are back in the summer. This agreement hit a renewal date. For us to terminate the agreement, we would have had to have terminated back in the spring. But the agreement has rolled over. We have been doing business with Rumpke for 20 plus years. They have approached us in recent months about updating this agreement and putting some cost protections in place. I have done some homework, and I do believe that at an appropriate time, if we were to decide to explore, there could be some potential cost savings, maybe by doing an RFP. But at this point in time, with the agreement that we currently have in place, which is a 3-year agreement, and we would be extending it by, I believe, about 5 months by approving this. We then stand to lock in our costs over the life of the rest of the contract. So I believe it is the wise thing to do at this point in time.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent the board approve a 3-year service agreement with Rumpke for the removal of trash, recycling, and related services.
Second.
Discussion. I mentioned to you, I think it makes sense to approve this. I do want to, like, a bigger picture whenever we go to renew any of the major contracts that we kind of always have a mind towards, is there a better deal out there? Not just financially, the relationship we have with Rumpke is important, but just kind of a holistic look. Are we always, because I wish we would have looked a little more in depth when we did the renewal of it, you know, back when that happened. So that's just kind of an overarching request that I have. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
No.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-1.
Next item on the business agenda is the approval of a service agreement with Fannie and Howie, Fannie and Howie. The purpose of this agreement is to allow them to come in and do an assessment of our facilities and systems so that we can have a better understanding of where we currently are to help us with future planning.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent the board approve a contract that will assess the current state of our district facilities and systems in order to gain an accurate understanding of our current realty for planning purposes.
Second.
Discussion.
This is going to be critical to for us to communicate to the parents and the taxpayers the state of our facilities, because again, we've talked about that, the facilities meeting that we had, that I think we need to be public aware of.
At our special meeting that we had a few weeks ago, we discussed that we haven't had one of these in how long? Is it 2010 or something? Like that? And their typical shelf life is 5 years. That's the basic information that we have.
Todd, the only question that I have for you is, and maybe I overlooked it, and if so, I apologize. Did we set I know we talked about it, but is there a time frame of when they're going to actually do this study? It's not something that we're doing today, something that could possibly start January, February. Obviously, you know, it's unfortunate that it's on the agenda at the same time as we're borrowing $1 million, but in no way, shape, or form are those two things linked, you know, together.
No.
And that, you know, this is a planned project that could occur in the spring or
right.
Whenever our cash position is better.
Right. This allows us to get on their calendar, so to speak.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that conversation has been had with Dan O'Brenba. I talked to him about doing it in the spring once our cash position was better, so he is aware.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion that the recommendation superintendent the board approve the following donations. $1,518.37 from the class of 2018 to the class of 2019.
Second.
Discussion.
Yeah, this is the last year's senior class donation. This is the remaining amount in their account that they have donated to the now senior class.
Very nice.
And Mr. Coburn, I know you mentioned it, or Mr. Miller mentioned earlier, but if you give another shout out to the people that donated the stuff for muffins with mom and guys like that.
Yeah, I plan on bringing something to the, well, I was going to do a January meeting, so probably February meeting. And then also, we will, January meeting, if we can add to the list for donations for the folks that are going to be donating to cover the luncheon expense that occurred, whatever, today?
Today.
So we can add that for January.
In both of those, Mr. Colburn worked getting the donations. There was no cost to the district for either the luncheon that took place today or muffins with mom and donuts with dad. So people worked hard to get it happen.
Yeah, Corey, thank you. That's a lot of work.
All right. Do you vote? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I don't think we have anything for new agenda items in this section in. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, so now we'll move to section O, executive session. I recommend that we enter to executive session at 7:40 p.m. to enter into executive session for the purpose of the following items under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G. Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated official. Also, Section 3, conferences with an attorney. And Section 4, preparing for, conducting, or reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees. I think that's all.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
I abstain.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
There'll be no action taken after the executive session. No, it lists two executive sessions in there. I think we have multiple topics under those different reasons that we're going in there. So that's why there's two on there, multiple topics to be discussed.
I would say it's also in case we were going to have one at the beginning of the meeting and one at the end and divide it up, and we're not doing that now. So
okay, there'll be no action taken after the executive session. Our next board meeting is January 3rd at 7 p.m. here in the district meeting room. That'll be both the organizational meeting and the regular meeting for January. Thank you.
And I want to vote you the